लोके आत्मनो अधोक्ष चात्मनः मैत्रेय उवाच श्री मैत्रेय सेड साधु ऑल गुड पृष्ठम आई एम आस्क्ड त्वया बाय यू साधो ओ गुड वन लोकन ऑल द पीपल साधु अनुगृह्णता शोइंग मर्सी इन गुडनेस कीर्तिम ग्लोरीज विद अन्वता ब्रॉडकास्टिंग लोके इन द वर्ल्ड आत्मनः ऑफ द सेल्फ अधोक्षज The transcendence. Atmanaha, mind. Translation. Sri Maitreya said, O Vidura, all glory unto you. You have inquired from me of the greatest of all goodness, and thus you have shown your mercy both to the world and to me because your mind is always absorbed in thoughts of the transcendence. Translation responsibly. Sri Maitreya said,
Sri Maitreya said,
O Vidura, all glory unto you.
O Vidura, all glory unto you.
You have inquired from me.
You have inquired from me.
Of the greatest of all goodness.
Of the greatest of all goodness.
And thus you have shown your mercy.
And thus you have shown your mercy.
Both to the world and to me.
Both to the world and to me.
Because your mind is always absorbed. In thoughts of the transcendence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Maitreya Muni, who was experienced in the science of transcendence, could understand that Vidura's mind was fully absorbed in transcendence. Adhokshaja means that which transcends the limits of sense perception or sensuous experience. The Lord is transcendental to our sense experience, but He reveals Himself to the sincere devotee. Because Vidura was always absorbed in thoughts of the Lord, Maitreya could estimate Vidura's transcendental value. He appreciated the valuable inquiries of Vidura and thus thanked him with great honor. ओम ज्ञानतिम्रान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता सप्तकाञ्जन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुंक्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽहं कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण मैत्रेया इज अबाउट टू आंसर द क्वेश्चंस पोस्ड बाय विदुरा सो बिफोर डूइंग सो मैत्रेया इज ग्लोरिफाइंग the questions of Vidura because of its value for Vidura, for Maitreya, and also for all the audience who would listen in the future. In fact, the same thing happened in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunika Rishi, inquired from Suta Goswami. As it is mentioned, Sarvatmana Mriyamanevsha Krityam Sattam Tathat Mrishatapi Yuktaha. So the questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya is valuable for those who are present any point of time. So those who were present at that point of time, it was useful. And now, those who are present now, they, for them also, it is equally important. Because it is about the ultimate duty of human beings at any point of time, and especially at the time of death. So that is described as bhakti unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, Maitreya is glorifying Vidura for asking such questions. So, asking right questions is an art. So we have the famous book by Srila Prabhupada, which is Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers. So the questions have to be perfect, then one can get perfect answers. I remember one very senior sannyasi was giving lecture in one of the preaching programs nearby in Bhakta Bhavan. So some boys who were present, they started asking questions which were a bit absurd. So immediately this Swami told that you need to know what to ask from a Swami, from a spiritually elevated personality. So sometimes out of compassion, these sadhus, even though imperfect questions are asked, they make it a perfect question and thus gives a perfect answer for the benefit of all. So he said, first you study Bhagavad Gita and you understand what are the kind of questions asked by Arjun. You learn that and then come and ask me questions. Not just ask anything and everything to me. So this is very important. Here we can see that Vidura, out of compassion for the living entities, asks the question that people are doing so many activities for their material enjoyment, but on the contrary, they are getting suffering and their material desires are not satisfied and they are not getting any satisfaction at all. So what is the solution for this problem? So Vidura is already on the transcendental platform. He is adhokshajatmanaha. His mind is completely fixed in transcendence because he is completely thinking about Krishna. People have a mystical understanding what is meant by transcendence, what is meant by spiritual, what is meant by being connected. Yesterday I was speaking to one guest in Crossways. So he wanted to talk to someone about spirituality. And I happened to be there and we had a conversation. So he brought one mantra his so-called mentor gave him. He wanted to know the meaning of the mantra and what is it all about. So he got his phone and, you know, he made it play. His guru or whoever who was singing this mantra, and I heard that it didn't make a lot of sense. It was a bits and pieces of different things, few Sanskrit words and here and there, and it didn't make any sense. So I told him, it doesn't look really like a Vedic mantra. It looks like a made-up mantra. So, and I can't say any meaning to this mantra because, you know, it is just made up. So what can I say meaning of this mantra? So he said, but I feel very connected while chanting this mantra. Then he said, I said, you know, we need to gain knowledge that you from the right spiritual source if you want to understand what is spirituality and how to make progress. So he said, yes, I said, you know, we have Bhagavad Gita. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you can understand. Then he said, I really don't want to get myself imposed with others' experiences. Because if I read that book, then if I do my own spiritual practice, then it will get affected because I will start thinking about what I read rather than focusing on my own experience. So I don't think this is the right way to do it. And he said, yeah, Bhagavad Gita is good anyway, I'll show you. I took a copy of Bhagavad Gita, I showed him. So he said, marathon is going on, of course, now. So in the street, some person already had explained me what is it. So I explained, these are the chapters, what is the content of Bhagavad Gita. Then he said, okay, he was not a bum as such. He's working in RMIT, you know, he's an IT professional. So he was from Melbourne. So he was quite interested and he said, okay, I'll consider reading Bhagavad Gita. I said, it is not from any mundane source. It's not even from an individual consciousness, it is from the Supreme Consciousness. Then he said, yeah, I can understand what you're saying. So it makes sense that at one point I should read. But I don't have the habit of reading anything. So I'll consider reading. So I invited for the Urban Yoga, come for the program upstairs if you have time. So this is the people who are inquisitive about spirituality. Still, it is very difficult to accept any authority. Even to the degree that they don't want to read a book. So, you know, what can we do? Still, we have to try giving this knowledge because the real charity is giving the right knowledge. Because when you talk about charity, people think about charity in so many different ways. There are salvos, there is Red Cross, you know, saving whales, this, that, so many things. So charity is, you know, charity missions are spread throughout. And now, this is the Christmas season, if you go to the city, each and every corner you will see dog charity, this charity, that charity. They will take over the whole city for charity collection. And if we actually bring the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as the real charity, it is very difficult to fathom for people that this is actually a form of charity. But the real charity is the right knowledge. The right spiritual knowledge. So, Maitreya has all the reasons to congratulate Vidura because the answers to the questions posed by Vidura is for the benefit of all. And that is what is happening in this particular month of Srila Prabhupada's book marathon. Because we need to share this knowledge to as many people as possible. It's very interesting that when we go out and when we stand in the street and when we try to distribute books, then we understand that there are people who are interested. If we sit in the temple, we never know that there are people who are interested in spiritual knowledge. There are right candidates waiting out there. And in fact, Krishna sends right people to the devotees so that they can make further advancement. Always we can see if we distribute books, that somehow or other, Krishna sends people. And there are people who just take the book, they are happy to share their contacts, they are happy to share, happy to receive an invitation for the programs. So we always find such people, because they are ready. Now the question is, are we ready to share this knowledge? So if we are ready to share this knowledge, then Krishna sends the right people. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that if we have books in the boxes, and if you are actually going out in the street and if you are really sincere to distribute these books, then books will fly out from the box. Why? Because the people come actually. Now, we always have some time experience at least. This time also this happened a few days back. One person, are you selling this Bhagavad Gita? It happened to you? Sometimes it happens. Most of the time, in one marathon, at least one time it happens. Are you selling this Bhagavad Gita? One person comes and asks, are you selling this Bhagavad Gita? Yes, we are very happy. Then how much does it cost? It's a rare question, usually, you know. Somebody coming to us and asking, are you selling Bhagavad Gita? One time I was in Geelong distributing Prabhupada's books, I think last year. And one lady came out from a shop and she asked me, are you selling Bhagavad Gita? I said, of course, we are giving out this Bhagavad Gita. She said, I just went to a bookshop and I was looking for Bhagavad Gita, but I couldn't find it. And I said, right here, it's for you. And I gave a good donation and took Bhagavad Gita. Always it happens. One time, you know, a few years back, again, I was near Melbourne Central and distributing Bhagavad Gita. So I had a full box and I had a hardcover Bhagavad Gita, big ones. As with that, and suddenly one OC guy, this was a lady who was a bit elderly, you know, from local there in Geelong. And this was an Aussie man, you know, he was, you know, quite young. He said, I was looking for Bhagavad Gita, are you selling it? So we find such kind of people also who are interested in this knowledge because they are ready. Bahunam Janmanamante. It can take many lifetimes for a living entity to come in touch with the knowledge of Krishna. So this is the right opportunity. So we have the right opportunity to develop our Krishna consciousness and also to share Krishna consciousness. Because everything is there. Books are there. People are there. Only thing we have to make that endeavor to go out and give out this knowledge. And we feel peaceful if we are not attached to the result. If we are attached to the result, then book distribution is a very painful experience. Indeed, it's a painful experience. Because many times Krishna will force us to be detached. So if we are detached, okay, whatever comes, we will try our best in a good spirit. If we go out and if we try, we see book goes and, you know, we get encouraged. It's fine. But if we get too attached to the result, we become pushy. You know, the whole exchange with people become impalatable. So we need to be quite mindful what is in our consciousness. Now, here a word is used to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja. A is the first letter in Sanskrit, right? A. And what's the last letter in Sanskrit? Ksha. Ksha. So, Krishna cannot be just described by the alphabets of A, which is beginning from A and which is finishing with Ksha. He is beyond that. That is Adhokshaja. So, he is beyond just the material description which can produce by the alphabet. And of course, he is beyond the sensual experience, or he is beyond the limits of the senses. Adhokshaja also means that if we try to understand Krishna just with our senses, then he pushes us down. If one tries to catch him through the senses, he is so expert that he can push such a person down. And he goes beyond that. That's Adhokshaja. That's the meaning of Adhokshaja. He can go beyond the sense perception. And he can go beyond the inquiry only using the senses. He can push them down. That is Adhokshaja. So Krishna cannot be understood just by words. Krishna cannot be understood just by mundane inquiry. He can only be understood through bhakti. We know from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktiya Ma Abhijanati Yavanyaschami Tattvataha. So many verses in Bhagavad Gita very clearly says that only through bhakti can we understand Krishna. And even it is mentioned in the 87th chapter of 10th Canto, the same point, that how is it possible for anyone or even Vedas to describe Krishna? Because ultimately the Vedic vibrations are made of the Sanskrit alphabets, which are meant to be mundane. So how can alphabets describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the answer is, Krishna is so inconceivable that if he wishes, he can manifest through the mundane medium. So one could say that this letters of Srimad Bhagavatam is mundane. The same words could be used to describe mundane topics, which is of course done in Sanskrit literature. So how the same words could describe something which is beyond the words and something which is beyond the sense perception? So the answer is, as it is mentioned here, but he reveals himself to the sincere devotee. It is through the medium that he is inconceivable. So through his achintya shakti, he can manifest wherever he wants. So when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it can look like mundane sound vibration, but it is not. If you check each and every letter, it is mundane in one sense, because it is just Sanskrit alphabet. So how can the Supreme Lord manifest? That is the sweet will of the Supreme Lord. So when it comes out from the right lips, then the potency is completely manifested. And when it is coming out from the mouth of Mayavadis, then Krishna has all the right not to manifest himself in chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's why Srila Prabhupada mentions, quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas of Sanatan Goswami, that the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra coming from the lips of an impersonalist, it is just like the milk touched by the poison of a serpent. How? Because the Lord has the right. He can manifest if he wishes, and if he doesn't have to. So this is a very interesting point in chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We are all chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, same mantra, but the impact, the effect is dependent on our consciousness. As Bhagavatam says, if one chants this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a joking way, in a ridiculing way, half sleeping, or maybe full sleeping, or with full consciousness, if one chants in any way, still there is benefit. Right? But there are cases in which there is no benefit. That is, if it is chanted by a Mayavadi impersonalist, then there is no benefit. It cannot purify the heart. So, the mantra is the same, but what kind of consciousness in which this mantra is evoked, to that degree, the effect is present. So here we can see it is so important how we chant. And Krishna has all the right to reserve how much he wants to manifest himself in the mantra. So it is not just ordinary. This is actually mysticism. Same mantra, everyone is chanting, but the effect is not the same. Effect is there, but it's not the same because of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. His independence, His Swarat, He is fully independent to do whatever He wants. So that is the importance of the inconceivable nature of the Lord, and that's why He is Adhokshaja. And of course, He reveals Himself to the devotees. Now, the very important point here is Adhokshaja Manaha, that Vidura's mind is always absorbed in the thoughts of transcendence. So here, we need to really understand this point very clearly, that mind being spiritual means one's mind is absorbed in either thoughts of Krishna or thoughts of Krishna's service. Then mind is spiritual. Otherwise, mind is not spiritual. In the sense that mind is always material by nature, constitutionally, but it can be spiritualized by thinking about Krishna or His service. Then it is spiritualized. Otherwise, mind by nature is subtle matter, as we know. Now, it is a very important point that Vidura's mind was always absorbed in thoughts of the transcendence. So here we have to focus on the word always, not sometimes. Always absorbed in the thoughts of transcendence. What does that mean? It means that his consciousness was so pure. Because mind is a reflection of one's consciousness. So if you want to know what is our consciousness, just observe the minds. What are the thoughts coming in our mind? So, Vidura's consciousness was so pure that his mind was completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, in thoughts of transcendence. So, we need to understand the potency of the mind. Mind is such a powerful medium such a powerful entity that can perpetuate our material existence, or it can mitigate our material existence. So mind is a powerful tool. So in this regard, I will just read a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the song sung by the Avanti Brahmana, because it's a very important section in which the Avanti Brahmana, as he was being tortured by different people through different means, he started singing a song. So Avanti Brahmana, he was a highly materialistic person. He amassed so much of wealth. Then, due to several reasons, he lost all the wealth. Some due to the dacoits, some due to the government. They are expert in taxing. Taxation is a big thing, so they took out of tax. Some of them was taken by their relatives, who are very good at it. If somebody, some of the relatives is wealthy, then they know how to talk nicely and how to get the wealth out from them. So in so many different, and some out of time, he lost all the wealth. So at that point, this Avanti Brahmana, he had a strong sense of renunciation came into his heart. So he took sannyas and he started traveling with hardly anything of his own possession. So he was just traveling, and as he was traveling, he was tortured by many people. Some people would take his stick, his danda, and run away. Someone would take his stick and beat him. Someone would pass urine on him. Someone would, when he was about to eat something, someone would take away his food. Someone would say, look at this sadhu, he's as steady as a mountain. They started teasing him. So they ridiculed him in so many different ways. But in all the circumstances, Avanti Brahman remained steady in his mind. And he started singing a song. So I'll just read the one or two verses, and I'll try to explain the crux of the whole song. So Avanti Brahman sings like this. Nayam jano me sukha dukha hetur navdevata atma graha karma kalaha manaparam karanam amananti samsara chakram parivartayet yat. The Brahmana said, these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods. My own body, the planets, my past work or time. Okay, so here Avanti Brahman is rejecting everything. Nayam jano. These people are not the cause of my suffering. So people who are actually giving trouble to him, Avanti Brahman says, they are not the cause of my suffering. Nayam jano me sukha dukha hetu. Na devatatma. Not the devatas. Not the demigods. Demigods are not causing any problem to me. Graha karma kalaha. Graha. If somebody has any trouble, they would go to an astrologer and see the planetary position, graha. So here, Avanti Brahman is saying, the cause of my suffering is not my chart. It's not graha. Karma, nor my karma. We always blame our karma for our suffering. Not for happiness. We don't think about happiness. But when the suffering comes, everyone would blame the karma. Oh, it was bad karma. Graha karma kalaha. It's a bad time or a good time. So he says, no. He rejects all the possible six reasons for sufferings. And he says, mana param karanam amananti. What is the ultimate reason? Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. So the ultimate reason is given to the mind. Why? Because in two ways we can look why mind is the troublemaker. On one level, whatever activities we are performing is according to our mindset. So, according to our mindset, we perform certain activities. In other words, from our subtle mind, we are performing the gross activities which are causing our perpetual happiness or distress. Another way of looking at it is, whatever happiness or distress we have it now is because of the mind we had previously. And another way of looking at it is, whatever it could be the reason for of our suffering, we may have performed so many activities, maybe devatas are involved, maybe the time is not right, but for all these reasons, ultimately the happiness and distress are property of the mind. And it is dependent on how much one identify with the subtle mind. So depending on that, we feel material happiness or distress. So in that way, the ultimate reason is given by Avanti Brahmana as the mind. And later, Krishna also confirms. And there are verses in which Avanti Brahmana actually denies all other possible reasons for suffering other than the mind. And Krishna confirms at the end of that chapter that the ultimate reason is the mind. And what is the solution? Krishna gives the solution also in the same chapter, in the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto. So the solution given by Krishna is that fix the intelligence upon me. That is the only way you can get out from this mental platform. Fix the intelligence upon me. So fixing the intelligence upon Krishna means we need to have the right intelligence. And where do we get the right intelligence from? What is the ultimate source of right intelligence? Shastra. Krishna, of course, and it is a Shastra. Because what we discuss is Shastra. What we get the advice from the devotees, that is also based on Shastra. So one's intelligence has to be sharpened with Shastra. And if you use that to control the mind, then one is in a safer position. So this is the answer given by Lord Krishna, how to tackle the mind. So here again, we have trouble with our mind. Certainly we need to take shelter of teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and other books. And similarly, in this world is going, the samsara chakra is continuing because of the mind. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Ye mana durmoti samsara. So it says that this mind is causing the samsara. Because one is identifying in the mind and it is perpetuating our activities. So again, it comes back to the same point that we need to share this knowledge. And that within this month, we need to take different opportunities to distribute this knowledge. One can think of different ways and means how to distribute books. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. We have 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
Just wondering how to come from performing devotional service at a duty to the point of absorbing the mind in devotional service.
How to do it. Yeah, in fact, this is explained in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We are already trying to follow that. Krishna says, Mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhi niveshaya, nivasashyasi mayeva adha urdham na samshaya. So he says exactly that absorb the mind in me, apply the intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhi niveshaya, both mind and intelligence absorbed in Krishna. Then in the next verse, Krishna says, Adhachittam samadhadum na shaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena mamichapsum dhananjaya. He says, okay, if we cannot absorb the mind completely as it is given in case of Vidura, complete absorption in Krishna, if it is not possible, then what to do? Abhyasa yogena mamichapsum dhananjaya. Then one should engage in the regulated devotional service, abhyasa yoga. So our sadhana process is actually abhyasa yoga. And Abhyasa yogena, what is meant? Mam ichapsum dhananjaya. Try to develop the desire to obtain me. So we need to develop the desire to be absorbed in Krishna. So this sadhana bhakti is such that it can actually give us the desire for getting Krishna, to being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it's a very important point that initially we may not have the desire. We may perform sadhana out of duty and there is no real desire to be absorbed. So sadhana can actually give us the desire for that. But everything comes out of desire only. So if we have the desire for absorption, then it's just a matter of time. We'll get it. Krishna will fulfill the desire. So the initial step is developing the desire to have spontaneous devotion for Krishna. So the result of sadhana bhakti is we get the desire, and that desire is fulfilling, and that's how one comes into spontaneous platform. So that's the reason Krishna says, Mam ichapsum dhananjaya. He doesn't say, okay, you'll get me straight away. You get the desire first, and then we get Krishna. So it's good if you have the desire to be absorbed in Krishna, it is very good, because then Krishna will fulfill. Because Krishna wants to see who is interested in me. So having the desire is really nice. Okay, thank you. Any? Yes, Prabhu. We don't disturb the people who are ignorant. We try to encourage them in their activities, as Bhagavad Gita says. So if somebody is doing some welfare activity, we don't discourage them straight away. However, given an opportunity, we give them higher knowledge. So we don't need to discourage their activity, but we can give higher knowledge. When we give the higher knowledge, maybe they can elevate themselves. They may continue their welfare activity, at least they can add to some degree Krishna consciousness through it. So that is the nature of people in goodness. They want to do good activities. So it is not necessarily transcendental. So if we have the knowledge, then they can. Yeah. Yes, Manu. What is that? Mm. Ultimately, desire is the property of the soul. However, when the soul gets in touch with the material coverings, that desire is coming through the mind. Soul doesn't have material desires, right? Cannot have the material desires. So where the desires are resting? In the mind. Material desires are residing in the mind, not in the soul as such, because soul doesn't have material desires. So in other words, if we try to understand, mind brings forward many desires, or in other words, many thoughts, we can say. Then the soul in the conditioned state get attached, identifies with those thoughts, those desires, and becomes one's own desire because of identification. So we are not denying the role of the Atma. We can't, because Atma is the experience, ultimate experiencer. So at the same time, we cannot deny the presence of the mind also. So the resting place of material desire is the mind, and the soul is getting attached to identifying with that, and it becomes his desire. Yeah, false ego is involved in all the cases. Yeah, false ego is involved. Whatever we discuss, everywhere false ego is involved. Support them. In what way? For example, if you are distributing books and, you know, many times it happens in a fight, charity people comes and stand next to us and they try to take over the whole place. You know, they catch all the people. We don't have any permit, nothing, and they have the permits. So what can we do? We support them, you know. You do, I'll give you my space also. You do the whole activity. Let's do somewhere else. What kind of support can we do? Do we need to give them money? You are asking, do we have to give financial support to these charity people? Can we give? Why do we have to? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that we don't deny helping people materially also. It's fine, it's laudable, it's fine. But we don't have time for that. We are in the preaching mission, we are giving the highest knowledge, so we are so busy distributing this higher knowledge, so we don't have any time for doing this kind of activities. So we have no reason to support such activities. Our support is, okay, we may not disturb them. If they are too attached to their activities, we think at least in the mode of goodness, it's all right. We may not disturb them, and given chance, we will give them the higher knowledge. But at the same time, we don't support them by giving financial support or whatever. It doesn't make any sense. How can we give them? In that way, if we are doing so, then we are telling ourselves that we don't have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. As I think His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was saying, you know, people talk about endangered species, you know, rare species. Devotees are the rare species now. Devotees are rare species, hard to find. So, what's the point in, you know, dog charity? My one time I remember one Christmas marathon, the whole people around me, all dog charity. Then one boy, this is very interesting, you know, one boy, I was telling you yesterday, right? One boy who was doing full drama in the street, you know, catching people, you know, the whole thing. Our books went, we didn't have any trouble, even though they were doing all dramas, that was okay. Whatever books we had to give, we gave, that wasn't a problem. But he was doing a full show in the middle of the street. And I could still remember his face. And later, I saw him in Melbourne Uni for our program. He used to come on and off. Then after some time, I saw him, you know, shaved up his head and a kind of a devotee. And then he told me, why, you know, what happened? He said, I used to do a lot of charity. I was very good at collecting money on the street. But he said, after some time, I felt so empty. And I felt so depressed. And I couldn't face any more people. He said, even after he became a devotee and he was telling, I couldn't actually go out and distribute books. I find it a bit difficult. I can't face people. Because I had this depression and, you know, had this bad experience going to the street and, you know, doing this charity for such a long time. See the effect, you know, the mundane activity. It's not fulfilling the soul. Eventually, you know, he accepts Krishna consciousness. We don't know how strictly he's practicing, but, you know, he understood this mundane charity, he has no benefit. Even to give one for, you know, one's own full satisfaction, it is not possible. Maybe better than mode of ignorance and passion, but to the heart, to the soul, no, it's not giving the full satisfaction. So it's a waste of time. Devotees engaging in mundane charity work, that is waste of time. We don't do such activities. So Prabhupada emphasized prasadam distribution along with harinam. And there is some intention for prasadam distribution. That one distribute prasadam and invite them for some programs or, you know, chant along with that so that they get the full benefit. It's not even just prasadam. It's more than that. So, yeah, we don't really support in with our own resources and our own time this mundane charity. Yeah. At the same time, we don't discourage. We don't write. Of course, in Prabhupada's purpose, there is enough discouragement. You know, other than that, you know, we don't call people and tell, you know, you stop your activity, because they may now they are in at least towards the mode of goodness. They can do activities in passion and ignorance. So we don't do that, but we try to give higher knowledge. So our discouragement is based on higher knowledge, not just cutting straight. Yeah. Okay. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.